Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Everybody, welcome to Two Out the First. It's August 26th, 2024. I'm Ryan Belge. Thanks for being here. Whether you're catching us live on live stream on whatever streaming service of your choice, or catching us as a podcast after the fact. Thanks for being here. We had a heck of a weekend. Hope you did too. Lots to talk about. Plenty of drama in the world of golf. Most of it inside the ropes, which is great. We like to have that kind of drama instead of the other kind of stuff. It was a really, really good weekend. So I want to dig in on that with Lydia Ko winning the AIG Women's Open and with Keegan Bradley, the sitting, existing, current, whatever, U.S. Ryder Cup captain, winning on the PGA Tour and getting himself from a position of being the last guy into this field at the BMW Championship, 50 out of 50, and then becoming the guy that has one of the best chances to win the $25 million FedEx Cup come Sunday. Talk about that, as well as I want to propose a fix out there, and I've thrown it out there on Twitter/X about how to fix the FedEx Cup in terms of the starting strokes. We'll get into that later on. So, let's start with Lydia Ko winning the AIG Women's Open in what was probably the first or second best major of the year. If you look at all 9 majors played between the 4, as we traditionally know them, recognized by the PGA Tour, and the 5 recognized by the LPGA, I'm pretty sure this was the best one, if not the second best one. And that really depends on how you feel about Rory McIlroy versus Bryson DeChambeau. I think that was probably number one this year for most people. A lot of people could argue, I think fairly, that the PGA Championship was number two just because it was so close down the stretch, back and forth, three-way battle. A lot of fun, right? But what neither of those things had was 4 current or former world number ones tied with 4 holes to go in the championship at the home of golf. And so I will make the argument that this was either the first or second best major of the year, because down the stretch, at St. Andrews, on the old course, the home of golf, we had wind, we had rain, we had nasty conditions. It was cold. Everything was tough. Greens were slow because of the wind. It was just different but traditional links golf at the same time. And you had Lydia Ko in there. You had Nelly Korda in there. You had Lilia Vu in there. And you had G.A. Shin in there. And you had Nelly Korda coming off of a very difficult stretch of golf for her, although in total an incredible year. Half dozen wins. You had Lilia Vu, who's been very much up and down this year, down because of a back injury, comes back, wins her first start after, then admits that she feels like she's dipping back into this notion of imposter syndrome, even though she's won 2 major championships, did it last year. You've got G.A. Shin, who walked away from the LPGA to return home. She wanted to be in her home country. She was number one player in the world, an incredibly accomplished player, and kind of maligned by a lot of critics of hers at the time by not being emotional enough, not interesting enough as a world number one. And yet still she's persevered all these years to be able to get starts like these in major championships and found herself in position to once again be a major champion. And then you had all of that come together in a confluence in the final 3-4 holes. It was just great, great golf. And unfortunately, G.A. Shin just kind of didn't have it, just kind of slipped it away. 17 got her, the road hole got her. Lilia Vu just couldn't get it done on 18. She had an opportunity playing the final group with G.A. Shin to tie Lydia Ko. She hits the cart path on the home hole. It rolls down to, 35, 40 yards. Gives herself a reasonable chance of up and down to it. Not so easy pin. Unfortunately, her short game kind of betrayed her a little bit, left her 25 feet or so for a birdie. And she was unable to make it. She wasn't even close on the putt in the end. Wound up making the par putt, or missing the par putt, which cost her about $300,000, dropping her from solo second into a massive tie for second place, which that was crazy. And then you had Nelly Korda just dropping strokes all over the place. I mean, it felt like through the 11th hole, when she got up and down from the bunker on the par 3, which was an incredible up and down. It was like, all right, this is hers to lose. She's got a multi-stroke lead. It's not going to get away from her. She's going to win 2 majors this year. And then once again put herself in position to make a double or worse in a major championship round. And she did it twice on Sunday. Just incredible mismanagement of her game and gave the tournament away. I mean, she had it in her hands. The trophy was in her hands. And then the really interesting thing to me is how Lydia Ko turned it on when she realized with four holes left that she could win this thing. She turned it on. She didn't turn it off. She didn't lose control. She didn't make bad choices. She didn't have unfortunate nerves, any of those types of things. She executed. 17 and 18 were incredible. Yes, she didn't make the birdie on 17, but the second shot she hit in there is the stuff of legend. It hit it to 20 feet with a 3-wood from a really tough spot on a really difficult approach shot, one of the most difficult in golf. And to be able to do that with a fairway wooden hand, incredible. Then on 18, hits a good drive, gets herself in position, hits it 7 feet past the flag, makes the putt that had to have slid 9 inches, closer to a foot left to right, gives the fist pump. She knows she's in the house on a good number. All she's got to do is see if she can sweat it out and avoid Nelly Korda and Lilia Vu and G.A. Shin, which is not an easy task. Again, all former world's number one players. And slowly it happens. Korda, bogey 17. She has to eagle 18. When that doesn't go in, she's out. G.A. Shin, bogey 17, effectively putting her out of the tournament. And then you had Lilia Vu, who had to birdie 18 and just could not get up and down from about 40 yards. And I'm not saying that's an easy up and down. It's not a slight on her, but she didn't get up and down. So Lilia Vu winds up winning by two because, or excuse me, Lydia Ko winds up winning by two because Lilia Vu misses the par putt on 18. She finishes on 7 under, 281. There are four players who wind up in that tie for second place. The three aforementioned former world numbers one and running in, who had a very nice little Sunday 70 to finish on 500 total. But again, that was a $300,000-ish putt for Lilia Vu on the final hole that she missed. That I know that's kind of nothing in retrospect in the grand scheme of trying to go back-to-back in a major, successfully defend it, win a third major, all that stuff. But that's a lot of money, especially on the LPGA. So Lydia Ko is now a three-time major winner. She has won a major for the first time in a little bit more than 8.5 years. Her last major was when it was still, I think, the ANA Inspiration in 2016. Like the first year, I think it was the ANA. Now it's the Chevron Championship. Pretty incredible. Couple of weeks, basically 15 days in total for Lydia Ko. She winds up winning the Olympic gold medal in Paris to get the final points that she needs to get into the LPGA Hall of Fame. That's incredible unto itself. The scene of that, her crying, just being so happy to have finally achieved that. And then just 2 weeks later, I mean, it's 15 days because the Olympic event ended on a Saturday. She is a three-time major winner, and she is the third player to win an AIG Women's Open on the gold course, joining Lorena Ochoa and Stacey Lewis. Incredible players in their own right, world numbers one, and she joins that company. And just to see the emotion on her face when Lilia Vu did not make the birdie putt, and she knew she had won, to have that just kind of moment of, all right, I did it, the outpouring of tears and joy and happiness, and then to spend time with her husband, June, who came over, was there with her, and they hugged and embraced and enjoyed that moment together. What a special time for them. It's really cool. I mean, you can go to X and Twitter and just see story after story of people in my line of work who covered way more tournaments than I have over the years, and they have nothing but positive things to say about Lydia Ko, even when they've been critical of her. And I would invite you to read Kevin Van Valkenburgh's anecdote about his time covering Lydia Ko when he was with ESPN, the magazine. Just really great stuff. Very enjoyable. And so I think the takeaway for me is this was such a great finish to major championship season, right? Those 2 weeks, the Olympics being such a great catalyst kind of for the end of the year. Obviously, with Scheffler winning, that being very emotional for him, co-winning to get to the Hall of Fame, and then winning a major on top of that to end that part of the season. She still has a great opportunity to win the race of the CME Globe and the CME Group Tour Championship, make $4 million in one fell swoop. There was a lot of talk, and there has been a lot of talk for probably the last couple of years about Lydia Ko entertaining the idea of retiring And in part, that was because last year she struggled so much after a great 2022, kind of the defining comeback year of her career, that she fell right back into what had been hurting her so badly. And she got to the point when she missed the cut at the Portland Classic, where she was there with her sister and thinking, maybe I'm just going to retire. Maybe it's time to walk away. And she wound up finding a great caddy who believed in her and stuck with her even through some of those darker times. She winds up winning the start this year. She puts herself 1 point away. It looks like she's going to get that point in the very next start in the Drive One Championship. She winds up getting caught by Nelly Korda, then loses to Nelly Korda in a playoff. That sets off a career-defining run for Nelly Korda. And then Lydia's just kind of there, stuck in this limbo of, I need one more point. How do I get one more point? I'm not playing my best. What's going on? And then she finds it. And that, I mean, that's golf. That is athleticism. That is so many things to a T. And that she did it with a lot of grace after the fact, to really kind of go into depth about the struggles that she has faced, and to overcome them, and the pride of overcoming them, and the fruits of overcoming it. Being an Olympic medalist, now having been the only person in modern golf history to have a gold, silver, and bronze from the Olympics. There's only been three of them, and there's only one person who could do it. And then to also be an Open champion at St. Andrews, when even she said in her press conference or speech outside the RNA clubhouse when she was handed the trophy, that she didn't really know a lot about Lynx golf when she was in this tournament for the first time at the old course, last time they had it, 11 years ago when Stacey Lewis won. And 11 years too long, by the way, for the Women's Open to be at St. Andrews. But she said she didn't really understand Lynx golf. She didn't particularly like it. And she thought this would be the major of all of them that she would struggle the most to win because of that kind of lack of experience and maybe to a degree appreciation of Lynx golf. But then to find it here in this past weekend and to finish it off is pretty amazing. So does that mean she retires? Does that mean she walks away? Is she satisfied? Is she happy? I don't get the sense that that's the case. I think she's figured out, hey, I can still do that. I could still play at the greatest level in this game, and I could still win major championships. I could still win gold medals. So keep it going. So I hope that's the case. I hope she sticks around longer and kind of defies her maybe own prediction of retiring at the age of 30, but we'll see what happens. Congratulations to Lydia Ko. Other big winner of the weekend has to be Keegan Bradley, right? Keegan was the last guy in the field at the BMW Championship. Got in when Tom Kim really screwed the pooch down the stretch in Memphis. What, 6-6-6, I think it was, to finish in Memphis. That moves Keegan Bradley into 50th position. He gets in this tournament. He gets in all the signature events. He gets the benefits that come with that, right? And then finds a way to win the golf tournament, the BMW at Castle Pines. I know a lot of people, especially in golf course architecture circles, are not a big fan of Castle Pines. I get it. It's not one of the best. It's not one of the best in Denver in terms of architecture, but it was a really good PGA Tour course. And I think we have to set up the distinction between a PGA Tour course and a great architectural course. And they're not always one and the same. This is a great venue. A lot of people liked it. Packed to the gills. Great noise. One thing I have really noticed in the case that I've been trying to make around the PGA Tour shopping out these first two playoff events in particular, both of them, not just the BMW with the Western Golf Association, but the crowds at the BMW every year are tremendous. They are lit up. They're fantastic. They're raucous. They are fun. And the reason is it's because it's not in the same place every year. And it doesn't have to be an incredible party like Phoenix is. It can just be a great traveling circus with 50 of the best players that season on the PGA Tour playing together for an opportunity to go play for even more money in Atlanta. I think that that is the winning recipe here. And if you heard the crowd noise and ovations all weekend, I think you would tend to agree with me. But Keegan Bradley played into that crowd. He wound up winning by a shot on 12 under, 276. He beat Sam Burns, who shot 65 way earlier than everybody else. I mean, he was done for a good 90 minutes, almost 2 hours, I think, before Keegan Bradley wrapped it up to win the tournament. Ludvig Åberg, who mysteriously found the water, I think, what was it, 14, just went 30 yards short of his target. And he was posing. So either he had the wrong club or a mishit and just did the pro pose. But does that. And then Adam Scott, who winds up finishing a shot out of a playoff with Keegan Bradley. And he seemed very disappointed that he couldn't get the job done, but does wind up moving to 14th in the FedEx Cup standings. So he gets into the Tour Championship as well. So good tournament, fun to watch. I mean, not as compelling to me as the Women's Open. I mean, it's a major, it's St. Andrews, it's Lynx Golf. Like, you're going to get me more than you're going to get Castle Pines, but everyone's got their own different views, right? So Keegan Bradley becomes the third sitting U.S. Ryder Cup captain to win on the PGA Tour. Davis Love did it in 2016 at the Wyndham Championship when he became one of the oldest winners in PGA Tour history. Keegan Bradley is obviously much younger, so maybe has a different panache to it because he's not a washed-up player. He's very much a top 30 player in the world, and now puts himself in a position to be fourth in the FedEx Cup, gives himself a good look at $25 million when he was probably thinking he had this week off. And now you've got to adjust expectations. Now you've got to adjust plans. Things are different now for him. He's guaranteed $550,000 along with everybody in the top 30 qualifying for the tournament, for the Tour Championship. Remember, $25 million to the winner this year, $12.5 million to second place, and I think it's something like $6 million and change to the third place finisher. So this is no joke. This is a lot of money on the line at the Tour Championship. What was interesting to me is we had four players get inside that top 30 from outside to start the week. And the four players that moved in, obviously Keegan Bradley moved in highest. He got in the fourth position from number 50. Pretty incredible. And if I seem to remember right, a couple of years ago, and this is more than a couple of years ago now, remember Heath Slocum wound up starting the playoffs like 120-something, won an event, got to third back when it was way more volatile. But Keegan Bradley is a great example of what can happen in the playoffs if you make them playoffs, if you let them be playoffs. So he gets in. You got Adam Scott who gets in and goes from, I believe, 41st to 14th. Then you had Tommy Fleetwood, who was right on the outside looking in, winds up getting in. Chris Kirk, same thing, just on the outside. I think he was 32nd, gets in on 26. Big deal for him because that means he gets into all the majors, basically gets all the signature events, all that jazz, even though he was a winner at the Century earlier this year. So he would get to defend that title. So you've got that volatility, which I think is a good thing, right? Because after the first event, we only had a couple guys move in and out. And that's really what the playoffs should be about. It should be about the opportunity to change your life with one good week or two good weeks. But a lot of the pushback is going to happen now. It's probably already started. Oh, we're running a net tournament this week. We got a handicap tournament because all of the points that have been accumulated through all of these events are translated into starting strokes for the Tour Championship. Scottie Scheffler's number one. He's 10 under. Xander Schauffele's number two. He's 8 under. So on and so forth, all the way down to even par, clusters of five, after those top five players come in at 8-7-6-5, right? And then you have clusters of five, a 4-3-2-1, and even. So players who are ranked 26th through 30th start with a 10-shot deficit going into the week. Good news is, even if that's practically impossible to overcome in 72 holes, you still get paid a lot of money, and you get the benefits of getting into the majors, and you get into the signature events next year. Your schedule's set. You're in a really good position to be able to keep your spot from one year to the next. It's not guaranteed by any stretch of the imagination, but you're at least in a good position. You have all the advantages you can possibly have. So there's that. But what I would like to propose to you is a different version of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Now, I've seen all kinds of versions over the years. I've made all kinds of ideas and proposals over the years. This is, again, the 18th year we are getting old of the FedEx Cup playoffs. There are lots of different iterations of this. The first year, Tiger Woods just had to show up to win. And East Lake was also in such horrible shape that they had like almost had to have temp greens. 2008, Vijay Singh just had to finish the tournament to win. Then they said, oh, that's horrible. We can't do that. We need to come up with the potential for dual champions. So you could win the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup, one or the other, right? So we had that for a long time. And that produced some interesting champions, right? But not anything that really seemed to connect because you still had conflicting points. So then you had with your reset. Then they decided for 2019, let's get rid of the reset. Let's get rid of concurrent winners. Let's have one winner here's starting strokes. And that's where that came from. And people pushed back on that right away because it's a handicap tournament. The whole season's reduced to a handicap tournament, blah, 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 blah. Now, I'm of the view that the format works. And the reason the format works is for people who aren't very online like me is because it's easy to understand. You take away all the points, you don't go, well, if this guy finishes here, he wins the FedEx Cup. No, you win the tournament, you win the FedEx Cup. And they make that easy translation from points to strokes. And I think that is a good thing. However, I don't think having that translation happen with 1 week to go in the season is a good thing. I don't think that's particularly helpful to anybody because a variety of reasons. One, you have this complaint immediately set up as soon as the field is identified for the tour championship. Oh, here comes the net event. People get mad about that, right? You have that before one of the biggest weeks of your year, your Super Bowl event to end the year. People are mad. Not a good look. Also, you have two playoff events where you have quadruple points compared to the regular season. And those events are set up effectively to protect your best players just so they get to Eastlake. It's almost impossible to have a radical amount of movement between those two events from 70 down to 30. You move like five guys. That's it. Five total guys. That's nothing. Doesn't mean anything. So you move less than 10% of the playoff field. Everybody was pretty much guaranteed to get in. The top 25 were already in, right? So that's not great. That defies the point of playoffs. So what I would like to propose is fixing that by having starting strokes come into play at the beginning of the playoffs. Go through the whole exercise of the regular season. Have your Wyndham Championship. Have your 70 players in points who get in. You have that be an official cutoff, right? Like you have it now. And then you have your Comcast Business Top 10. Your regular season champions get an enormous bonus, just like they already do. Make a big deal out of it. Make sure the people actually show up to some kind of ceremony to get the money, which would be nice for the sponsor. And then you assign them their strokes. And you go, okay, Scotty Scheffler, you won the regular season. You start at 10 under par to start the playoffs. Congratulations. Xander Schauffele, your second great year, buddy, minus 8 to start the playoffs. And move it on down so that you set up the top two seeds to have an advantage over everybody else. The next group plays down to 6 under par, and then you do it in clusters of 10 all the way down to even par, down to the bottom 10 players who get in the playoffs. Now, we don't care about points anymore. We just have tournaments. We have the FedEx St. Jude. We play that tournament, and we have a 72-hole total. Whoever wins that 72-hole total gets the medalist bonus, $3.6 million. Big deal for you. That's great, not only because you won the tournament, but also because you are definitely moved way up in the standings for what we're going to make the new FedEx Cup playoffs to be. Because we're going to take your starting strokes and combine them with your 72-hole total for the first event. That's going to be your new place on the leaderboard after the first event. The top 50 players in the leaderboard after those 72 holes move on to the next event. They get into the BMW Championship. From there, we're going to play 72 more holes. Again, no cut in either of these events. We're not changing any part of that. You're going to have a 72-hole total for the BMW Championship. You're going to add that to your total from the starting strokes and the FedEx St. Jude. The top 30 on that combined leaderboard gets to Eastlake. Then, from there, that's the starting point for the Tour Championship. And that might mean that you have two players with a chance, one player with a chance, 10 players with a chance. A lot of things can happen in two tournaments. But now you have a system where everyone knows going in, here's how the regular season went, here's what the playoffs meant to that, here's who has a chance to win the big money. What I would also say, in addition to having, obviously, your medalist bonus for the BMW Championship, you have a medalist bonus for the Tour Championship. Keep it consistent from event to event to event. So it's meaningful, right? You don't have to celebrate it like you would winning the BMW Championship or the FedEx Cup St. Jude. But at least it's a nice booby prize for the players who have no chance to win the FedEx Cup. And it's $25 million first place prize, right? That makes sense. Just do that. Now, we ran an experiment of this, ran an article about it at golfnewsnet.com. We did have a perfect alignment, right? Because we couldn't run the system how you would want. But 38 players out of the 50, because there are two guys who withdrew, McIntyre and Matsuyama. So those guys, you make it 40. So 40 out of 50 players would have qualified in the system. 10 players different. Well, 10 players sounds a whole lot better than 5. That's 10 players out of 70, and you could still see more volatility than that over the course of a playoffs if you ran it more consistently. And the reason I say that is because a lot of the players who compete in the playoffs, if you're in basically in the top 25 in the FedEx Cup points going to the playoffs, there's almost no chance that you get kicked out of the Tour Championship. If you're in a tournament with a chance to win, you compete, right? You're trying to win. But if you're not, you can kind of coast. Don't take it too hard. Don't stress too much. Try to win as much money as you can. Make sure you get to the playoffs. Make sure you get to Tour Championship. Make sure you get to the end, right? You can get a big bonus. But you can kind of take some shots off. In this format, you couldn't, right? If you just kind of resigned yourself to having a bad week because you're doing really well in the standings, well, you might get passed seriously and your opportunity to win the FedEx Cup goes away. It just takes a bad 9 holes to make that happen. So instead, you have 144 holes to make it all happen. Every shot matters. It all adds up. I think you get a much tighter race than what you would see in the leaderboard that we have at golfnewsnet.com, where you would have Xander Schauffele up 2 on Sam Burns, who's had the best playoffs against par, but came in with a reduced number of starting strokes in that system. Scottie Scheffler's way back because he didn't play well last week, and he played okay in Memphis. I mean, he played well, but not his best. So he found himself out of the running to win. If you accept that the FedEx Cup is not to determine the best player on the PGA Tour, you can have a whole lot more fun with it than you do right now. If it's designed to be a protection plan for the best players, move a lot of that money to the Comcast Business Tour Top 10 and just have the FedEx Cup be a playoff system that's fun and is a lottery, and you got to play well for 3 weeks and make it happen. Decide that, and then you can really make this thing connect better. It makes every event more meaningful, makes Memphis more meaningful, makes the BMW more meaningful, makes Atlanta more meaningful. Everybody wins there. So that's my proposal. You can tell me you don't like it. I would love to hear your ideas, or if you even care about the FedEx Cup at all. I've heard from some of you that say, I don't care regardless. I just want to watch the golf, and I find the points or the system annoying. I get that too. So love to hear from you. Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com, Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, Ryan Ballingy, Facebook, YouTube, Ryan Ballingy Golf. Before we get out of here, I want to give a quick shout out to Matt McCarty on the Korn Ferry Tour. He won his third tournament of the season at the Albertsons Boise Open, won by a couple. He gets an instant promotion to the PGA Tour. He gets to play the FedEx Cup fall. He is the first guy in 3 years to get a Battlefield promotion, a 3-win promotion. So he gets to play all the fall events for PGA Tour purses. He's in. He's got a card for next year locked up. He probably will want to play the Tour Championship, the Korn Ferry Tour Championship out of French Lick. We'll be there live on GNN TV. But he will probably want to play it just to make sure he gets number one. Once he gets number one, then he gets into the U.S. Open and the Players and is fully exempt for next season. So there's still a big carrot there, but he has won 3 times now on the circuit this year. Congratulations to him for doing that. So big accomplishment there. And then shout out to my buddy Bryson Nimmer, who I played with earlier this year in South Carolina. He was one of the last guys in the field at the Albertsons Boise Open, had himself a great week, gets himself to 128th of the points, gives himself at least one more look at the tour this year. He gives himself a pretty darn good chance to get into 120th or better to get into the third leg of the playoffs. And then it's anybody's game to see if he can get into the top 75 for that tour championship. All right, it's going to do it for us today on the show. We have lots to talk about, even that happened today. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We've got President's Cup qualifiers. We've got Solheim Cup teams named, at least automatic qualifiers on the U.S. side and the European side. Also, Suzanne Pedersen named her captain's picks today. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Lots to get to there. And then we've got a tour championship to talk about. And usually we get a state of the tour address from Jay Monahan. Will he say something interesting? We'll see what happens there as well. Again, email me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com. You know where to find me on all the social media handles, either Ryan Ballingy or Golf News Net. Leave us a 5-star review if you're catching us a podcast. Helps us reach more people. Hit that thumbs up, subscribe, all that jazz. If you're catching us on video or as a live stream, back with another show tomorrow. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Catch you next time on Two Off the Fur.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.